Hi, and welcome to our very first anti-fascist podcast in a series of podcasts that we're going to be calling Lighting the Lamp. My name is Laura, also known as Liberty Lamp on Twitter, but my Twitter title is also Popcorn and Soy Milk, because they're both awesome. And I also have an anti-fascist blog, also called Liberty Lamp. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Engineer. Why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Mr. Engineer, and I'm going to be making everything sound all pretty-like and everything tonight.
He is my savior. All right, thank you. Mr. Engineer really does sound like, won't you be my neighbor?
Welcome to my neighborhood.
I love that show. Anyway, no, we have to focus. Okay. Our other co-host, Don Chump, will be joining us shortly. He is another anti-fascist blogger, and we will be discussing the up-and-coming alternative right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia on August 12th called Unite the Right, with the intention of being located in a space called Emancipation Park, although the alternative right is calling it Lee Park, because that, I think, was its original name. Now it has been renamed Emancipation Park. This podcast has been pre-recorded, and since we recorded it last night, there has been some changes, and I want to fill you in.
Been a lot of changes, really.
It really has, right? Well, just to make things clear, Jason Kessler, the organizer of the rally, never had a permit. He never had a permit, but he was up for a permit hearing. He had an application in for a permit, from what I understand. And he had his hearing, and apparently the outcome was he can have a permit for his rally, but he cannot have it in Emancipation / Lee Park. And he, because of the size and the numbers, because he said that he anticipated 400 people to show up, and that was too many people. That was too much.
The city decided that was too many people for Lee Park, which, if you haven't seen it on Google Maps, it's really not that big. It's about the size of a small church parking lot or something like that. It's not someplace you cram 400 angry people in with the appropriate amount of riot cops and other emergency personnel into those streets and everything like that.
Absolute disaster.
We should also point out here that he also, in order to have that park, he should have had an insurance policy. He tried to get that, but that was also denied. And so since he didn't get that, they weren't able to shut the street down for him. Oh, well.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Engineer. Well, the title of this podcast, Bringing It All Together, is Altamont. And yes, it is very boomer to bring up Altamont. But just too bad. Deal with
nerd.
It.
Nerd!
Nerd! We're all nerds. We really are. Anyway, and for a short and quick history lesson, Altamont was a free concert, which was a follow-up to Woodstock. Woodstock, if you, those of you out there, if you don't know what this is, Woodstock was the peak of the hippie movement. It had a great hive connection. It was about love and breaking down restrictive barriers and lots of drugs.
Mostly drugs.
Was a lot of activity too. A lot of connection. It was free love. It was the summer of love. Anyway, Altamont was supposed to be the follow-up, the Woodstock of the West Coast. Well, that turned out to be a disaster. The Hells Angels, on recommendation from, I believe, Jerry Garcia, but I think there was another gentleman too who was trying to push this. They were hired on for security in exchange for $500 worth of beer. Back in those days, that was a lot of beer.
Oh yeah.
That was a lot of beer. Well, drunk bikers and drugged up hippies didn't exactly make the best fusion, In fact, it was a complete disaster, actually. So let's kind of bring this down a little. And it ended up with a lot of fights, and then a stabbing murder of an African-American gentleman named Meredith Hunter by a Hell's Angel named Alan Passaro. Well, do we see a possible parallel what happened at Altamont and this Unite the Right rally.
We're trying to make sure it doesn't happen like that.
Yeah, we do not want that. We really don't. Was the alternative right Tiki Torch rally back in May, also, which was also in Charlottesville, was at their Woodstock? You know, in a lot of, I think it was. I think it was the alt-right Woodstock. And could the outcome of this Unite the Right rally be their downfall? Well, stay tuned, and we will take a music break with a song written about Altamont by the Rolling Stones, who were one of the bands who played it at the concert. And then when we come back, we will be with Don Chump. hello, we are back. And that was Gimme Shelter by the Rolling Stones. It was written as a response to what happened in Altamont, the free concert who used the Hell's Angel biker gang for security and ended in terrible tragedy. And it also ended the hippie movement. Now, as I promised you, we are back here with Don Shump. And how are you doing, Don Shump, this evening?
I'm great.
Awesome. Don Shump, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, well, there's not a lot to tell. I mean, I have a blog, Restoring the Honor. Part of the idea of the blog was to focus more on the Confederate heritage movement. But because they're so intertwined with Nazis and Klansmen and things like that, it typically veers into like white nationalist territory. So there's a lot of crossover between the movements.
Absolutely. And they're going to be there at Unite Right.
Who's that? The
Southern Nationalists.
The Southern Nationalists will definitely be there. They're actually, as far as the data that I've seen, they are probably the largest contingent of people going to the Unite the Right rally.
Okay, but why don't we hold off that? Because I think we're going to talk about that part in a little bit.
Okay.
But let's explain to everybody what this Unite the Right rally is.
Sure.
And let's a little background. It's called Unite the Right, and it was intended to be a coalition of various white nationalist groups. This rally is supposed to be the part two for the Tiki Torch and Khakis rally that they had in May, Richard Spencer had in May, where they all, I don't know, what do you, explain that one. Any input on that one?
Not a lot of input on the one in May. I mean, they did have a Tiki Torch nighttime rally.
With khakis.
And the khakis. They were in polos and khakis. Polos and they looked really good. They had fashy hair. They looked really, really sharp.
They did.
I think that's what they were trying to do, was to look sharp. And it's really the modus operandi of the white nationalist movement these days, is to improve their image. It's all about optics.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, these are not the type of white nationalists that fall into the old stereotypes at all. The main groups that will be there are going to be Richard Spencer, who is really like an organization on himself. He kind of is his own organization. I mean, it's NPI
Disorganization would be a better way to describe it.
I guess so. Well, for this rally, yeah. But then there's Identity Europa. And then there's, you know, Mike Enoch and the rights stuff. I guess he is, I don't know if any more of the right stuff, blah, blah. Any more of the right stuff guys are going.
I think there's a bunch of those guys going.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact,
there's
a splinter group, Identity Dixie, has a large contingent of people going as well. And they are, they splintered off basically from the right stuff. They grew out of the right stuff.
Okay.
They're a separate podcast and movement.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I remember that happened. I think that happened when they all
It's when he got doxxed.
Yeah, it was the doxing, I think, kind of sprung that up.
There was a bunch
up.
Of controversy about the doxing. And then they kind of split off and, you know, did their own thing, and then they all made up, and everybody's happy again. But
and then we got League of the South.
The Identity Dixie guys, they are also Southern Nationalists.
So
they fall into the same camp as the Losers.
The League of the South, the Losers, yeah. Is League of the South. And then there's some, there's other groups that are. Oh, you brought me. I'm sorry, Mr. Engineer just brought me some coffee.
Get away.
Is that your coffee?
That's my coffee.
He's so mean to me. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let's go back. We also have some other sort of brand types, you know, like, I don't know, Baked Alaska. Isn't he coming or is he not coming?
Yeah, Baked Alaska's coming. I did see a photo of him a while ago where he was kissing somebody. I don't know if it was Milo or who it was, but it looked like they were open mouth kissing. So I don't know if they'll be.
Is that a recent photo?
I don't know. I don't know where that occurred, but I could have sworn that it was Baked Alaska in that photograph. I could be wrong.
Yeah,
somebody,
maybe.
One of those brands was kissing Milo, I think.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I think everyone in that brand, that sort of alt-light, I'm not sure if you call Baked Alaska alt-right or alt-light. Alt-light is kind of...
I think he's kind of shifting into the alt-right side of things these days.
I think so, too. I think so, too. It's interesting how they had that split. I was kind of working on a project to try to explain the difference, and then I got stuck, and it got beyond me, and I have to finish it. I feel really bad. I got a lot of people who cooperated with me. It just got away from me, and I apologize to those people. Who helped me, and nothing has come up so far. I feel like I need to finish it. But it looks like this also, back on track, this rally is starting to get behind them, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think the rally's getting out of control. At this point, it's become unmanageable for them. They can't really control it. It's snowballing, and it's just going to be what it's going to be at this point. I don't think there's really much control they have over it anymore.
Yeah, and do you think it's because some of these new add-ons, like all of a sudden there's, I've met and had some conversations with Richard Spencer, and he's pretty specific on how he likes his optics to look. You know, he's, as we talked, you know, the khaki shirts, the polos, the very short haircut, I think they call it Chad nationalism.
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of their term. They want to sort of look like clean-cut frat boys is their look. And then all of a sudden, they've got some add-ons that are really not people that I think Spencer has ever really worked with before. You know, like the NSM.
Yeah, Scoop is coming. Jeff Scoop, he's bringing the costume Nazis out.
So he's bringing the costume Nazis out. So there's Scoop, and we don't have confirmation, but you believe that possibly that KKK group that was in Charlottesville in July 8th. Which one are they?
The Loyal White Knights. That's the Loyal Chris White Barker Knights. Guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Barker is I would say rumored, but I think it's pretty much confirmed that he's a Fed informant. Kessler, who's the organizer of the rally, he got really mad when he found out that Chris Barker was doing that KKK rally in July. I mean, he was really upset about it because he said that the left paid Chris Barker to put on that rally. The left did that.
Yeah, we did. Okay.
Now these guys are rumored to be showing up to Unite the Right. So I don't know if Kessler is going to have another meltdown over that or what. But it is rumored at this point. I did try to reach out to the Loyal White Knights to find out what the story is, but I haven't heard back from them yet.
And what is going on with these militia groups? And then I heard, now remember there was supposed to be a Patriot rally, and then there wasn't a Patriot rally, and then we heard the Oath Keepers are coming. What is going on with all of those? I mean, it's almost, we've got some interesting sort of other groups descending on this. So what's going on with that?
Yeah, so the militia groups, I guess when you say militia groups, you're really kind of lumping a lot of different, I guess they kind of demarcate themselves in some kind of way. But you got the Patriots, and then you got the Threebers, and then you have the militias, and they really all just kind of fall under the Constitution category, you know.
Patriots,
they're all about the
Constitution.
Yeah, the Patriots.
And the Threepers, you mean the Three Percenters.
The Three Percenters, right.
Yeah, because it could sound like Threeper, which is Free Republic, yeah. Which is, I haven't heard from them in a long time, but yeah.
Creeper would be a better way to describe them, because they are kind of creepy.
Who is this guy who keeps sort of claiming he's from one of the militia groups from Pennsylvania, and... Was it the Lightfoot Militia?
Pennsylvania Lightfoot Militia.
Thank you, Mr. Engineer.
Yeah, I never heard of this guy before. His name's Christian Yingling. I'd never really heard of the guy before.
Yeah.
And then somehow they got involved in this Unite the Right, and I blogged about it. He got really mad that I blogged about it. And really, I mean, like, I just put a bunch of opinion in there, and then I took some screenshots of things that other people had written and put that on there. And he kind of like threatened to sue me for posting it. So I removed it and I apologized. But I guess he's okay. I mean, I haven't heard anything from him. I don't really think I had to remove the stuff because some of it was things that other people wrote, not myself, and I just screenshotted it. And then some of it was my opinion, and I really think he would have a difficult time suing me for defamation, you know, stating my opinion, but, I mean, he's more than welcome to, I guess. But, yeah, I don't know where this guy came from, but he's part of that Pennsylvania Lightfoot Militia group.
Yeah.
And he's just like a branch of the tree. So he's not like the main guy of the militia or whatever. And
so
I don't
he
even
has
know
like
if
his
militia supports what he's doing, but
is he like sort of the head of his own group?
Yeah, it's like a splinter. I guess I don't even know if you would call it a splinter group. It's just a branch of the tree. So you got the entire militia group, and then they have these different branches in states. They have all these different battalions and things, and he's I guess the leader of one of those battalions or whatever.
Now, he's claiming he's in touch and working with the Charlottesville Police Department, or is that not true? I mean,
He said it a couple times now, and I can't confirm it. I mean, I did write to the city, and they didn't respond, but they're not really responding about anything. I've written to the city a bunch, and they haven't responded to anything, really.
They're probably.
Just say thank you for your email. You know?
Yeah, they're probably so tired of this. They're probably like, oh, God, let it be, you know. Let it be August 13th already.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this thing is kind of an embarrassment for them.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure that they really don't want to talk about it. But at the same time, I mean, this stuff is all really pertinent to the community, and they really should be more forthcoming with information about it.
No, I agree.
I think we're going to find out more this week. I mean, we're in the final days. So I think the city will be saying more because we don't even know if they – have a permit yet. No permit has been issued as far as I know. At this point, it's just an application that's been submitted, and the city has not final approved any permits. So technically, they really don't even have the space yet.
Wow, that's interesting.
Until the city approves the permit.
So that takes it to a whole another level of chaos here. And wow. So, and then you have this guy, Lang, how do you spell it?
Yingling. Like the beer.
Like Yingling.
The shitty, terrible, banana-tasting beer.
Well, it's not really spelled like the beer. It's a little different than the beer, but it's the same.
Okay,
same
banana,
concept, so.
Same shitty-tasting banana or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. But, well, I mean, we've watched a few of his videos, and I mean, he's definitely very excitable, and I think that, you know, I hope that, you know, he's not going to be a danger to people while he's there. I mean, I am actually kind of concerned about sort of these sort of fringy, unhinged types that, you know, are coming, because, you know, League of the South, we know Brad. You know, and we know Brad is not going to become an unhinged. Brad Griffin. He's not going to, from League of the South, from Occidental descent. He's not going to become unhinged. You know, Michael Hill, he's not going to become unhinged. We know that. And most of those guys are, you know, they're kind of in check. They know how to kind of, we don't agree with them, and their views are appalling, but I mean, most of them know how to behave in public to some extent, but you have some of these, you know, more fringy types. I mean, there was another one too. What was his name? Jimmy Fry.
Yeah, I don't know much about him.
He's a little. He's another one who's just seems a little bit unhinged.
I'd really like to know his backstory. I mean, he just seems like a really unique kind of guy.
Well, I think he had something to do with the local school system where he's at.
That's like the Virginia Beach area or something.
I think so. Yeah, I think he had some, and I think he let his views know. I don't know. I haven't looked into him, so I'm not going to say anything because you know I don't want to say anything wrong. So I think, but he seems a little. He seems a little, and I think he's quite close to Kessler. It seems, maybe.
They seem to be good friends. I know that a lot of Kessler's inner circle has been kind of starting to distance themselves. A lot of the local people that Kessler was working with before this thing popped up have kind of moved on and are kind of almost denouncing Kessler in this rally. Some of them I think are technically denouncing it. So it's kind of interesting to watch that, to watch these people kind of slink away from Kessler.
You know what?
Little by little.
Let's talk about Kessler a little bit more deeply, you know, after we come back, because he is kind of the organizer of this. You know, I mean, he is kind of
this, whatever this is.
This rally. This mess. He is sort of, you know, and
quote, organizing, unquote.
He's exactly. He's kind of. So, why don't we take a break? Coming up, I think we're going to play some Depeche Mode. We're going to dedicate this song to Richard because he loves Depeche Mode, and I think
he does love Depeche Mode. As a matter of fact, I think they were trolling, but they said Depeche Mode was like the soundtrack of the alt-right at some point. Yeah, somebody did.
Yes, but it's interesting because they wrote this song. And that was Depeche Mode with People Are People, which is actually an anti-racist song. So, you know.
I would imagine that maybe that's not one of Richard's favorites.
Maybe it's not. And we are back with Don Chump and Mr. Engineer. And we're talking, if you're just, tuning in, whatever, we're talking about the Unite the Right rally and how we feel like it's going to go like Altamont, that free concert that ended in a disaster. And we were talking about basically the main organizer in Charlottesville, whose name is Jason Kessler. And, you know, I've actually met Jason, not formally, but I've seen him face to face, you know, at rallies and stuff. And I kind of, you know, I don't really engage with him. I've engaged with some of the people at rallies when I'm there, but Jason is someone I've kind of, my instincts kind of tell me to keep a little bit of a distance. So, let's talk a little bit more about him. You've been, you know, chatting around Charlottesville with some people. Is that correct, Don?
A little bit.
And you've maybe heard a couple of rumors. Now, these are just rumors. We're not claiming these are facts at all. But some of the stuff that you had heard, what is some of the stuff that you had heard about him?
Well, one of the biggest things that I keep hearing is that he was involved in the Occupy movement. And I tend to believe that that's probably true because I've seen a lot of people in the alt-right kind of defending that and kind of saying like, well, you know what, everybody comes to this from someplace and, you know, we all start somewhere. So they kind of defend it, you know, like it's not really that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, like some of the people that I've talked to say that, I mean, not only was he involved in the Occupy movement, that he was kind of a problem within the movement. And again, you know, we're not putting any of this out as fact. We're just talking about, you know, the rumors that we're hearing. I haven't been able to talk to anybody that really was part of the Occupy movement with him. I mean, from what I hear from talking to people, nobody really wants to talk about him.
Wow.
I think it's kind of like what you were saying. Like, you just have this kind of feeling like you don't really want to engage with him. And I think it's kind of one of those things. Like, people just don't really want to talk about him for whatever reason. I don't know why. I mean, he seems like he's one of the kinds that, you know, like, he wants to have a conversation. But when you try to have a conversation with him, then he says he doesn't want to have a conversation. Or, you know, if you say something that casts him in a negative light, he's very quick to, you know, start talking about, like, litigation or suing somebody or whatever. And so it just seems like there's just problems that, you know, come with even talking about him, and people just don't really want to, I guess.
Well, from what I can see, though, let's take a look at some of the timeline, too. I mean, he has picked a lot of fights just recently, in the past year, in Charlottesville. I mean, he, didn't he have an assault charge?
Yeah, well, the assault charge came later. I mean, like, Jason, this all kind of stemmed out of, he dredged up these old tweets from Wes Bellamy, who is a city councilor in Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. He found some old tweets doing a search on Twitter, and he made a big deal about it. And I think Wes, like, lost a couple of jobs because of it. The things that he said were not defensible. I mean, they really were not defensible. And I don't think anybody really defends the things that Wes Bellamy said in the tweets that I've talked to. I've not really talked to anybody that defends it.
Yeah,
he did apologize, and people do make mistakes, and I think that, you know, at some point when you apologize, I mean, at some point you just got to let it go, I feel like. And Jason was just one of the persons that was not able to let it go. He just kept pushing it. And he got to the point where he started a petition to have Bellamy recalled from the city council. And that didn't go anywhere because I guess he didn't really follow the rules for the recall. And so they threw it out of court, and now, he didn't pursue it any further after that.
Now, doesn't some of this stem from the monument? I mean, I think the Lee Monument, are they having it removed? Is that what the deal is? Are they voted to remove it?
Yeah, so the city's not sure exactly what they're going to do with the monument.
Okay.
A lot of people on the right are talking about how they're trying to destroy it, which I think is kind of hilarious because nobody's really talking. I mean, I'm not saying nobody. I'm sure there are some people, you know, the more extreme factions of people that want to see it destroyed. Me personally, I'm not one of those people. I mean, I don't want to see it destroyed, but I mean, I think something should be done with it. Should it go in a museum?
No, are they removing?
Did they vote in a graveyard somewhere?
Did they vote to remove it? Is that what it is? Are they definitely removing the monument?
I don't think that they are definitely removing it. I think right now where it is, it's in court.
Okay.
It's in the court system, and they have to litigate whether they are able to remove the monument and do anything with it, because there is a movement that says that, no, you can't. The law says that you can't move it. So there's a dispute about that.
No, was Bellamy one of the people who was pushing to have it removed? Is that why they targeted him?
It's hard to say why Jason targeted Bellamy. I don't really know. I mean, it's hard to get inside his mind, but I would imagine that is part of it. I think Bellamy was part of the movement to do something with the monument. So that's probably part of the reasoning.
And you think maybe also because he's African American?
I mean, it's possible. It's hard to get inside of Jason's head and know what his reasons are. I mean, if you listen to his reasons, I mean, he says that Bellamy is an anti-white black supremacist. So
yeah.
I think it's at some point race is a factor there for Jason, but how much I can't say.
Exactly. Okay, so he got in trouble outside when he was collecting signatures for this petition. Is that correct?
He got into
an argument with a gentleman and ended up assaulting him.
Yeah, so it's a really funny story. So apparently Jason and this guy have a history, and I don't really know the full story about the history, but they knew each other previously.
Maybe from Occupy?
It's possible. I don't really know if that guy was involved in Occupy. I do know. I think that I have read somewhere that they worked on like a video type project or something together, and I could be mistaken about that, but that's what my memory is. A while ago, and so anyway, the long and short of it is they knew each other previous to this. But anyway, Jason was out on the downtown mall area in Charlottesville collecting signatures for his recall petition, and I guess he came upon this guy, and there was Jason told one story and the guy told another story, and it went to court, and I think they both alleged that they were assaulted. Jason alleged that the guy assaulted him, and the guy alleged that Jason assaulted him. And the prosecutor threw out Jason's complaint of assault because there were video cameras on the mall, and I don't think Jason knew that it was recorded.
Wow.
And so the prosecutor said that Jason's claim that he was assaulted were untrue. So that portion of it was thrown out, and then I believe he was convicted of that assault, if memory serves me right, and I think he was given like a suspended sentence.
Okay. But probably a very short one. It didn't sound like it was like a big assault. Did he punch him? I mean, what happened?
Yeah, I mean, I think if I remember right, Jason said that he did punch the guy in the face, and he gave a bunch of reasons for why he did it.
Wow.
But
okay.
Your guess is as good as mine if his reasoning is true or not. I mean, he also, previous to this, he created like some type of a GoFundMe page or something at one point, and he used like some woman's photograph on the account or something like that.
What?
And he didn't have permission, and I think somebody found the lady, and she was kind of upset about it, and then he changed it, put his photograph on there or something. I recall something like that. But anyway, I mean, he just – a lot of shady stuff seems to happen surrounding Kessler, and I don't know what the reasons for that
are. and then what happened then, I think there was a get-together one evening, and – an attorney, was it Jeff Fogel?
Yes.
Jeff Fogel was caught into the middle of it, and he was then charged with assault. Now, how old is Fogel? He's in his 70s.
I believe so. I believe he's in his 70s. I don't know his exact age off the top of my head, but I believe that's accurate.
Yeah, he's in his 70s. He's actually like a kind of civil rights attorney. And he's got a long history and a really good reputation. I think he comes from the New Jersey, New York area, and is a transplant to Charlottesville, and he has a really good reputation of defending all different kinds of people for their civil rights, or and including Hal Turner, I believe. He even defended Hal Turner at one point. So
yeah, I think that's right. Jason also was kind of involved with a guy named Joe Drago, and I think, yeah, again, if my memory is correct, Fogel defended Drago at one point, and then Drago all of a sudden is now mad at Fogel or something. So I think that now he's kind of like throwing Fogel under the bus, even though Fogel, you know, kind of defended him in a case, I think. He does have a history of not just defending left-wing people, but even right-wing people. I mean,
yeah, very extreme right-wing people and people who are actually going to be on, like, you know, the white nationalists, who were at one point on the white nationalist side. And although I'm not sure if Hal was quite a white nationalist at that point, but he was a pretty extreme libertarian. So, I think that was when he was, you know, involved with Hannity. So yeah, I mean, Fogel's is pretty, I think he's kind of got that ACLU mentality where he defends rights, period, you know, and I admire that. You know, I really do. And for Jason and to instigate, you know, that kind of problem to such a wonderful person and, you know, a man in his 70s. Okay. And I think Jason was the one who actually went and got a warrant went out of his way to get a warrant for this man's arrest in his 70s. And so he had a knock on his door late in the evening. I mean, he tells the story late in the evening, and five cops were at his house for this 70-year-old man who's, you know, very harmless, I would say, and took him to the station and booked him. Over what?
Yeah, I mean, Tesler actually didn't swear out the warrant. It was,
okay,
it was the person that was allegedly assaulted by Fogel that actually swore out the warrant, I believe. And I forget that gentleman's name. But Kessler did kind of instigate that. I mean, there's a video of this online, and I don't know if you've seen it, but I did. And to watch it, to watch this alleged assault, I mean, Fogel literally, I mean, I don't even know how much contact was made between him and the other guy. I mean, I think he literally just put his hand on the guy's chest, just rested it on his chest, and that was called an assault. So I'm really not sure how far that, you know, that's going to go. It may get thrown out of court. Who knows?
Has that been taken care of, or they're just still waiting on that?
No, I think Fogel actually filed some complaints against, like, the magistrate and things. So none of that has been litigated. I think that was all pushed back.
Okay.
So I think the court dates are in the future for all that. But that's not been through the courts yet, I don't believe.
Well, I wish him the best, because he really actually is a very wonderful human being. And I can't imagine what kind of person would go out of their way to terrorize a man in his 70s like that? And you said Jason didn't go and issue the warrant himself, but he kind of egged his friend on, you think, to do it, and the two of them might have conspired to do it together.
I mean, it kind of looks that way to me.
Yeah,
Jason on the video, like, screaming assault or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, after it happens, and I mean, like, to my eyes, when I watched the video, like I said, it just looks like Fogel really just kind of put his hand on the guy, like, hey, back up, don't get in my face. Because I think the guy was, like, screaming communist in his face or something, and I say screaming, it might not have been screaming, but he was, like, you know, kind of shouting communist in his face or whatever.
But yeah, but you're talking about a man in his 70s, you know, he might be very sensitive to aggression. I mean, come on. You know, you hit a certain point, and you know you're more fragile and you're more sensitive, and who could do that to a person of that age? I mean, I think that's that right there, you know, shows just where the head is at. You know, I mean, that's that in itself is, I think, pretty bad. Oh, I'm sorry. I just got a notice in. It looks like Ernst Zundel has passed away.
Finally.
Oh, no.
Don't say that. That's kind
oh,
of...
Oh, no.
Yeah, the Holocaust denier Ernst Zundel has just passed away. I just got a notice about that. Okay. Well, you know what? We're not. I don't want to seek joy in that, but or express joy in that. I think let's send condolences out to his family. I think that's the appropriate and proper thing to do. Okay. So, you know, I think from what I gather about Kessler, now he is recklessly inviting a lot of these people. I think, especially the militia. His stunt with the biker gang. That's another thing. I mean, another thing that he did. We could talk about that. Why don't we talk about that when we can come back? Because we're coming up onto time break, and we're going to play another song, and then we will be back, and we'll talk about the bikers.
We don't need that.
All right, we are back. Now we are back. That was Heaven 17 and Fascist Groove Thing. We had to stick that in there. You can't do an anti-fascist show without having that song, because that song's classic. Okay, welcome back. The name of the show is Altamont, because we are talking about the Unite the Right rally that's happening on August 12th in Charlottesville. And we were talking about Jason Kessler and some of the antics that he had been doing this past year, sort of leading up to this rally that's going on now, that's going to be happening. And some of the stuff, he is the organizer of the rally, and we're just kind of talking about, you know, the kind of person that he seems to be projecting of himself. So we were talking about him. He did a press conference about the rally, and he was surrounded by this gang of bikers, and it was outside the police station in Charlottesville. Now, real quick, Charlottesville is kind of like, if anyone's familiar with Northern Virginia, it's kind of like Vienna, Virginia. You know, it's very quaint. It's very cutesy. It's a college town for UVA. It kind of reminds me of Stars Hollow from the Gilmore Girls. I mean, this is not really a scary and threatening town by any means, from what I gather, at all. It probably has a fairly low crime rate. So here's Jason doing a press conference about the rally, and he has surrounded himself with this big gang of bikers. Now, what was the name of these bikers, the bikers again?
It was the Warlocks.
The Warlocks. He surrounded himself with the Warlocks. Now, there are two kinds of Warlocks, right? You could explain that.
There are. I didn't know there were two types. I think read something about the one from Florida is the more extreme Warlocks.
No, there are two gangs of Warlocks out there. There's the Pennsylvania chapter, and then there's a Florida chapter. The one that is always in the news is the Pennsylvania chapter. They're the ones who always do all the rapes, all the murders, all the meth trafficking, and everything else like that. The Florida chapter...
And they are white nationalists.
Of course they're white nationalists. Yeah, they're huge, gigantic white nationalists. They get into biker feuds with everybody. They're also into a big biker feud with the Florida chapter of the Warlocks, who are basically your bargain basement, you know, generic chain store brand of the Warlocks.
But they are the original ones. I thought the Florida ones are the original Warlocks.
They could be. My research on that is a little bit iffy. They're kind of, you know, you take your typical biker gang, you starch and press them, and then you have the Florida Warlocks. They're not as threatening as the Pennsylvania Warlocks. They still do their own fair share of violence and their fair share of meth trafficking and everything like that. But they're not as extreme, but they still have the name behind them, which is why when Pennsylvania Warlocks come across them, they kill them.
They do. Okay. And I think they were a little confused. I think Jason didn't present himself to them like 100% honest about the rally. I think he might have billed it as, oh, we're having a rally to defend the monument. And I think that's kind of why they came out. And then they kind of discovered... You know, because people complained after they saw all the imaging and the photos of him surrounded by these guys. Like, do you know what you're doing? Is this what you're about? And I believe one of the guys owns a tattoo shop
in Fredericksburg.
Yeah, I believe so. I think he got a lot of flack.
He did. And we're not going to mention his name because he doesn't need to be dragged into this. It seems like Jason is kind of, you know, causing problems and then dragging these outside rough and tumble people into like kind of like the mess he's made to defend him. I mean, I see that as a pattern. Do you see that as well?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I saw recently some chat on Facebook with some of the Patriot groups, and I think that the kind of the alt-right was denying it, but the Patriots were saying that they've been invited to several events by Jason. And then, you know, at least this one group, the chatter that I saw, he said, that'll never happen again. You know, that, you know, fool me once, shame on shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me.
Yeah.
And so I think that I think that more people will start to feel the same way once they've been exposed to, or no, all these disasters that he leaves in his wake.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's kind of the feeling that I'm getting, you know, all around from, you know, the people that are involved in this in this rally, is that he's doing a lot of manipulating and a lot of careless, reckless stuff. Now, I don't think, though, he was the one who invited the NSM. Do you?
You know, I don't know who invited the NSM. I do know that the NSM, typically, wherever you see Matt Heimbach, you see the NSM. And Matt Heimbach is a part of this rally. Now, whether he is the one that invited them or how they got involved, I couldn't say.
Now, Matt Heimbach,
it's interesting to note that Heimbach is part of the event. So.
Well, Matt Heimbach was at the last rally, but he was at the rally, but he wasn't, like, there was no focus on him. He sort of had, like, this Alfred Hitchcock cameo. It's like, oh, wait a minute, is that Heimbach in that photo? You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. He just kind of showed up. And I think, you know, I think they decided to move him a little bit further up on the chessboard with, you know, Richard Spencer and Identity Europa and the people who were involved with the last rally decided to move, you know, move him a little bit more forward on the chessboard, as I said. And as we remember from Harrisburg, and when was Harrisburg? Was that was the election, around the election?
It was in October of 2016?
November.
Something like that.
It was like the Sunday right before election day. In Harrisburg, Heimbach had declared a coalition with the NSM and a couple of these kind of clan-like groups.
I think it's called the Nationalist Front.
Yeah, the Nationalist Front. Is that the whole coalition? So I'm wondering if, because Heimbach is there, his whole Nationalist Front coalition all of a sudden has to be part of it, too. Is that possible?
That's what it kind of looks like to me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the thing. And Heimbach tried to clean up the NSM. You know, he tried. He tried.
It's funny because he tried. It's so funny because I was just looking the other night and I saw this picture of Scoop. And the page that I found it on, and also, you know, in the little profile picture that accompanied the photograph that I saw of Scoop, there's a huge swastika right in the middle. And even though they try to, you know, like, hide the swastika, because, you know, that immediately turns people off, and they know that. They have seen over the years that they can't get anywhere with the swastikas and the flaming crosses and stuff. So they're trying to do a better job hiding that stuff.
They changed the, I think Heimbach had them, like, change the flags, and
they're using runes now.
They're using runes now.
I want to say it's an Odal rune or something.
Which rune was it? Do you remember?
Odal rune.
So they're using runes now, and do you think maybe some of the people who are on stage with him in Harrisburg, I mean, part of his coalition, they might show up as well? I don't know. I mean,
it sounds like a lot of the coalition showing up.
Wow. I mean, so, yeah.
As far as I know, like, pretty much there's going to be a representation of, I think pretty much everybody, you know, there's going to be a representation of almost every group within white nationalist circles of this thing,
and
to
this
some
is,
extent.
Yeah, and this is not Spencer's, like, thing. I mean, I've never, ever seen him. I mean, I've been watching Richard Spencer since, what, 2010, 2011. And he always was more, I mean, he's a wonk. I mean, he's definitely much more of a policy guy. Paul Gottfried was his mentor, from what I remember. And, you know, he's worked with Taki Magg. He's worked with Pat Buchanan. He definitely is much more off of K Street than he is, you know, part of, like, any kind. I've never seen him affiliate with any kind of costume, you know, costume rallies is what I like to call them, the Hollywood Nazis or the costume KKK. I've never have seen him ever affiliate or associate with them, ever.
Yeah, I mean, this rally is definitely bringing out a whole new level of characters. I mean, I just saw the other day, there's this guy, Bill Riccio, who apparently, I mean, like, he's rumored to be a sexual predator that preyed on, like, young male skinheads. And and also there's a lot of rumor that he is a federal informant. And so, again, you know, just like the Loyal White Knights, the rumor that they're involved in this now, and now you got this guy, Bill Riccio, that's showing up. I mean, it's really turning into a cast of characters, and it's, you know, it almost makes you wonder who's responsible for this. You know, like, eventually somebody, you know, if it goes south, if it turns into a gigantic Altamont type event.
And it's highly possible. That's highly possible. Yeah.
Right. I mean, somebody within the white nationalist community is going to have to be, you know, I mean, I would imagine they're going to hold their own people responsible for this mess. You know, and I mean, like, there's people that I see that, you know, are kind of like egging this monstrosity along. And I can't imagine that people are going to forget about that if that's what happens. I mean, they're talking about this is going to be a turning point for them, that, you know, like, what's going to happen on Saturday is going to be the great turning point of white nationalism. It's, you know, they're more or less basically pie in the sky. This is going to be like white nationalism goes mainstream after the 12th. I don't think that's really going to be the case, but
yeah, I think it could, you know, and there's a, you know what, I never say never, because I've made predictions in the past and they've gone south. So, and they just didn't come true, but it very well could be, you know, it could be the beginning of the end. And I think, Richard Spencer, and as much experience as he has, you know, in, you know, doing what he does, he really is very much a protest noob. I mean, he's a rally noob. He's done a few rallies in this past year, but this is coming out into the street or out into the public and having a rally. That's never really been his thing. I mean, he's always had them, you know, at the press club or at a hotel, and it's always been, you know, a very controlled environment of the type of people, you know, because I think he's fairly selective about, you know, who is in his movement, and this is like a huge step for him to like open his, you know, open up his, you know, doors and share a stage with people who, in the past, he probably would not have even given the time of day to. I think, you know, it can go either way. I'm inclined to agree with you, though. I think this might, if this turns into an Altamont, if this goes really badly and people get really hurt, and it doesn't matter which side, and it doesn't even matter which side instigates it, I do believe he's going to take a fair amount of blame for this, whether, you know, it was his fault or not. The media and the public is going to blame him for it.
I mean, I tend to agree with
you. He's going to be the face of the blame of all of it, because it's really billed as his rally. I mean, originally, I mean,
I also think that Jason Kessler is going to take a lot of the blame if a scenario like that unfolds. You know, like me personally, I'm hoping that things remain peaceful.
Oh yeah, me too. Absolutely.
I don't want to see violence at all. I think it's bad.
Me neither.
But I think that the alt-right is being very disingenuous with all their messaging and stuff, where they're talking about they hope that, you know, that none of their people are going to commit violence and it's all going to be on the left. I mean, that's what they're more or less instigating that. That's what they want, and that's why I think that, you know, the left, if they're smart, they won't take the bait. They'll just go, they'll yell a bunch of mean stuff at these guys. You know, nobody will touch anybody else, and then they'll leave. And I think that that's one way that the left can really, I think that's probably the most damaging thing they can do to the alt-right right now, on the 12th, is not take the bait and not fall into their traps, because I think that's exactly what
I agree. I agree. But then again, too, you know, at this point, if you never know who's the provocateurs as well, and there are most likely provocateurs on both sides. When you see, I can't wait, you know, but I've seen some of the chatter, like, I can't wait to go and, you know, I'm bringing my gun and I'm going to put, you know, bullets into some Antifa. I mean, we've seen chatter like this, and, yes. You know, anything like that happens, the entire, you know, they're all going down, and that's it. I mean, if somebody, if and even if it's somebody like Lang Lang or whatever his name is, who had really nothing to do with any of them in the past, he shows up on their side, decides to get stupid, pulls out his gun and starts shooting people. Okay, they're all going to go down for it. And yes, Kessler will definitely take a lot of blame for this, but really, nationally, nobody knows who Kessler is. If things go bad and there's photos and footage and reports of a disaster happening, the one name that is known internationally is Richard Spencer. Okay, and yeah. He will be the one who will probably take most of the heat for this. And I think that's something... Yeah, I think that's something that they all kind of... Whether it's his fault or not, and probably most likely it will not... He'll probably have nothing to do with it. And he'll be pretty much, other than organizing this, you know, not organizing, he wasn't really organizing, but, you know, being part of this rally and being part of at least springing off this rally or the idea for this rally. And the well-known person, the Nazi who got punched, you know, they're going to tag this on him. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right to me. I mean, I think that's probably exactly what will happen if it really does go south like that. Again, I hope it doesn't, but you know,
yeah,
it's
me
hard
too.
To say. It's just it's a really kind of heated environment right now, and you know, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't worried about the violence breaking out. Again, I hope it doesn't, but
yeah, I'm worried about it as well. I mean, I am going, and I'm going to be going and taking footage and still shot photos. I actually hope to meet Brad while I'm there. You know, Brad and I have been trolling each other on the internet for like 10 years now, and we've had this sort of back and forth going on. We've had a few emails and a few sort of direct mail conversations as well. And it should be interesting, you know, to meet him face to face. He doesn't know it, but I actually was right in front of him during his rally in Richmond, taking his photo. He just didn't know it was me. But we've never been formally introduced face to face, so I'm hoping that might happen, only because I think it would be kind of interesting for us after all this time to actually sit down and have a chat. I might Periscope it.
Well, make sure you use a selfie stick.
Oh yes, and I'm going to show Brad how to properly use the selfie stick, because Brad, you know, Brad needs to understand the concept of the selfie stick. Absolutely, absolutely. So I think. We all want peace. We all want this to go well. You know, not well.
Well.
We all want this to go peaceful.
We all want peace. I mean, I think there are some people out there that don't want peace. And
absolutely.
They have reasons for not wanting peace. But I would say that I want peace. It sounds like you do. But
absolutely.
Whether everybody does, it's hard to say.
And when I said well, I don't mean like, I hope, you know, I hope they all, you know, flourish from this. I don't. I don't like this. I don't like the movement at all. But I don't want to see anybody getting hurt at all.
Yeah, I agree.
And from either, you know, honestly, from either side, I'm not one of those people like, oh, good, it was a Nazi. I'm glad he got punched. That's not me. I mean, that's not what I'm about. You know, we're all human beings, and the reason why we're anti-fascist is because we want humanity, and so yeah, I don't want anybody to get hurt, and I hope nobody gets hurt, and let's hope that everyone behaves themselves, and just scream, shout, you know, play music if you want.
Take lots of photos.
We're going to take lots. We're going to take lots of photos. Yeah, lots of people. Everyone should take photos and video, because who knows how the media is going to report, the mainstream media is going to report this, and at least there should be people, you know, giving an actual account instead of a twisted account. So, I think that's what my goal is going to be when I go, is going to be that I'm not, very little commentary, and just basically take footage of everything I see and just give it to the people and let people make up their own minds is kind of where I'm coming from. All right. I think that's, we're good. I think that's a good conclusion to our show. and for our first show. And maybe what we should do is a podcast when it's all the week that it's over, when it's all done, and we can kind of give our rally report back. What do you think?
Yeah, we can kind of debrief a little bit.
I think that would be a good idea. What do you think, Mr. Engineer? No one can see you put in your thumbs up, so say something.
Thumbs up.
Okay, he said thumbs up. Okay, thank you, Mr. Engineer. All right, great. Well, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed our show. It was the first time we did it, so if we rambled a little bit on and sounded a little goofy, just cut us a little bit of slack. And hopefully we'll do better next time. but I hope our information was important and enough for people to listen to. And thanks again.
That's all, folks.